It actually goes with our topic this morning. Here at the Fallbrook Church, we've been studying the book of Joshua. And we've been hearing the stories that are found in this important, precious book of the Bible. Last week, Pastor Jeff shared the conquest of the city of Jericho and how those walls fell down. But today, we look at a story that it's actually hard to preach from. The story of a man who failed. The story of Achan and his family. But a story that reminds me also of the power of prayer. And thank you, Martin, for sharing your story on prayer. That's what we're going to be also sharing this morning. In this chapter where so many things go wrong, there are also a few things that go right and make a difference in the outcome of the story of the people of Israel. Before we start, I'm going to invite you to just once again pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the stories that are found in Scripture, some of them encouraging us as your people followed faithfully your commandments. But others are there as a warning, reminding us of the consequences of sin. They are real, they're true, they bring pain, and ultimately they bring death. And so, Father, as I share with your people this morning, I ask that it will be your Holy Spirit speaking to each one of our hearts. Because I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I've entitled the sermon this morning, When God Says No. Is that a hard word to hear, brothers and sisters? That was a hard word for me to hear growing up. My parents would say no, when my teachers would say no. When a friend would say no, you can't do that. Sometimes it was like they were saying, do it. My mom would look at me and say, Samuel, what part of the word no don't you understand? I said, no, you can't go out to be with your friends. You can't go out and play. No. And at that moment, it was like something told me, just go to the door really quickly. She's not looking. Open it up, close it. Out I was for hours at times. This happened actually on Sabbaths, right when we were coming back from church. My parents were ready to have a meal with the family, the one day of the week where you can actually sit down and have a meal with your family. But I was outside playing with my friends. My mom would look at me and go, what part of it don't you understand? No in English, no in Espanol. Same word, same spelling. And it's a word that we all find difficult to comprehend, understand. And God had told his people, please do not take any of the things found in Jericho. In fact, if you find any gold or silver, I want you to bring that to me. That belongs to me. They had seen, the people of Israel had seen how God had delivered that city into their hands. They had seen how God had opened up the Jordan River. They had seen, experienced how God had fed them in the desert. God had done everything possible so that they would succeed in the conquest of the land. And he had just asked one thing. Please do not take any of the things that you see there. In fact, if you see anything besides gold or silver, I want you to destroy it. Just leave it there. And they apparently did. They finished their task. They were happy. They were excited to go to the next city, the city of Ai. When I was reading it as I. In Spanish, you've heard that word, or we hear it, ai, ai, ai. You know, it means pain. Well, in Hebrew, I or Ai means actually ruin, a heap of ruin. It was a negative word. And they actually saw the city as, hey, this is an easy city to conquer. We've got it. God is giving us this city, this small city. Yes, it has a gate. Yes, it has walls. But this is something we can conquer. In fact, Joshua, we don't need you to send all the men, only 3,000 of us, and we'll go and defeat this city. But when they got there, to their surprise, they were the ones who were defeated. In fact, 36 men died that day. Everyone was shocked. Their hearts melted. They were saying, What's going on here? Why did we lose this battle? It was an easy battle to fight. Why could we not succeed? And we find something in this chapter, Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. I invite you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7, verse 6, and we'll find here what Joshua did after he heard the things that had happened to his people as they went to smite the city of Ai. Joshua chapter 7, verse 6 tells us, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide." And did he do this by himself, brothers and sisters? No. It says that he and his elders, the elders of Israel, put dust upon their heads. Joshua knew he was in trouble. He knew things were not working out as planned. And he said, where can I go? I'm going to God. I'm going to go before him. I'm going to put my case in front of him. And he does it in a very bold, very open way. Verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought us out over Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? God, did you bring us here to destroy us? Did you bring us here to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, the Canaanites?" We know that the Canaanites were being judged. For 40 years, they had heard the message of a God who had delivered his people out of Egypt. For 40 years, the Canaanites had heard the message. There's a God who's taking care of his people as they wander in the desert. For 40 years, they had heard of this cloud that would cover them during the day and a pillar of fire that would guide them during the night. They had heard of how God had brought them through the Jordan River and how he had helped them destroy the city of Jericho. But still, no repentance on the part of the majority of the inhabitants of Canaan. In fact, what we know about the religion of the Canaanites, we find as a source, the Bible. We find that they would sacrifice their own children to these gods called Molech, called Hadad, called Baal. And they had all these things that they did that were abominable before God. Archaeologists also found in the city of Ugarit tablets that describe these hymns, these prayers that they lifted before the stars of heaven. So there's ample evidence that these people were wicked, and their wickedness had reached the limit. God had said, enough, no mas. And it asked his people to bring judgment upon them. But Joshua was surprised. God, judgment is happening now upon us. We are being destroyed. 36 men just died. Well, what's going on? And brothers and sisters, when things are not going well, can we come before God? Can we bring our prayers and petitions before a loving God? A merciful God? We can. In fact, we find in the little book, Steps to Christ, these quotes that I would like to share with you regarding prayer. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. When Jesus was upon the earth, he taught his disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast all their care upon him. And the assurance he gave them, his disciples, that their petitions should be heard is assurance also to whom? To us. It's assurance to us. Page 94. God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayer of the humblest of his children. And yet there is much manifest reluctance on our part to make known our wants to God. Our great need is in itself an argument and pleads most eloquently on our behalf. Amen? Amen? Joshua came before God and just said, God, what's going on? I don't understand why this is happening to us. Why are you treating us this way? He opened his heart to God as to a friend. He sincerely expressed what he was feeling at that moment. And can we say that Joshua was disappointed? He was disappointed. He was discouraged. And not just for himself, but he thought, God, what will people think of you? What will people say about you? You're not that strong. You're not that powerful. I praise God for his mercies. Amen? Because he heard that sincere prayer, not just by Joshua, but by many of the elders of Israel. He heard that prayer. And we find what he answered Joshua in chapter 7, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed things, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own things. Basically, Israel has robbed me, has taken from me what belongs to me. Verse 12, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. And this passage is difficult for us, at least for me, to preach from. Because when we think of a merciful God, we think of a God who somehow will make it possible for everyone to make it into the promised land. But there was somebody in the camp, somebody who had robbed God, who had taken from God, who was accursed and was bringing a curse upon the people of Israel. Is sin something that we suffer on a personal basis? When I sin, do I only suffer? Or do others around me suffer, brothers and sisters? Others around us suffer, don't they? family members, friends, community. We look at the news, we hear, and we suffer. Yes? When we hear of the things that are happening in our world. This week I had the opportunity of taking my mother-in-law to see the doctor. And doctor said, I need you to do some lab work. And so I took her to the place where she was going to get her lab work. We sat in there. And there was a family with their little boy, 16 months, 18 months. He was learning to walk. He was happy. His grandpa was there also watching him. And you could tell that the little boy was just excited of being there and having everyone who was sitting there waiting for their turn just to look at him. I remember the name, Alexander. Alexander, take this to your mommy. And he would grab a phone and come over to mom. Alexander, give it to grandpa. Grandpa was there. And he would do the same. Everything was beautiful, was happy, until they called Alexander's name. And then grandpa decided it was time to leave the waiting room. He walked out. And dad told mom, you hold him. And mom grabbed Alexander. And in they went. They closed the door behind. But everybody in that waiting room could hear the screams, the pain, the suffering that sin has brought upon the world. One of the persons who was waiting to get some blood work was saying, oh, I hope that person doesn't stick me. We were all there just hoping it would end soon. But anything the parents would say, Alexander, it's going to be okay. Alexander, you'll be all right. Alexander, don't cry. And none of that helped. God's people were suffering. They were suffering the consequences of sin. And they were asking God, God, what can we do? Yes, we are sinners. But what can we do to make things right? And praise God, because there's an answer in God's word. Amen? There's hope in God's word. This is what God told his people. Verse 13. Get up, he told to Joshua, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemy until you take away the accursed thing from among you. And I would say that Joshua gathered everybody and said, God has called us to confess. Confess our sins. God has called us to pray like we've never done before. And we find these passages here in Steps to Christ. Through sincere prayer, we are brought into connection with the mind of the infinite. We may have no remarkable evidence at the time that the face of our Redeemer is bending over us in compassion and love. But this is even so. We may not feel his visible touch, but his hand is where, brothers and sisters, is upon us in love and pitying tenderness. And at that moment, I can see God just bending over his people, putting his hand upon them. They were discouraged. They were suffering. They were crying. They were saying, why? Why is this happening? And God was saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There's this other passage, keep your wants, your joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot burden him. You cannot weary him. He who numbers the hairs of your head is not indifferent to the wants of his children. Amen? Oh, those are words that encourage me, brothers and sisters, to come before God. If I am in trouble, if I sin, I can go to God. Will he listen to me? Yes, he's promised. I can bring my needs, my wants, my failures, everything before him, and he is not indifferent to them. Verse 14 tells us, and the second day they compassed the city, chapter 7, verse 14, in the morning therefore ye shall be brought according to your tribes. This is what God instructed Joshua to do. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be what? Shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Up to that point, had Achan repented? He had not. He was seeing the anguish that Joshua was going through. He was seeing the anguish that the elders were going through. They were praying. They were renting their clothes. But did he think of coming and saying, "Hey, guys, I'm sorry. It's my fault. In fact, I want to pray with you." During that whole time, Achan was silent. He was quiet. He was hoping nobody would notice. He was hoping nobody would discover him. He was hoping that somehow this would just all kind of disappear. Verse 16 tells us, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now, what hast thou done? Hide it not from me. Still Joshua with compassion said, my son, what have you done? What part of no did you not understand? When God says no, brothers and sisters, it is what? It's no. It's no for pastors. It's no for everyone else. It's no. Verse 20 tells us, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. You might think, hey, Pastor Sam, he did confess. He did say he was wrong. He did tell Joshua what he had done. Sister White clarifies this passage in this statement that Ahab's confession only served to show that his punishment was just. There was no genuine repentance, no contrition, no change of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. So confessions will be made by the guilty when they stand before the bar of God, after every case has been decided for life or death. An acknowledgement of sin will be forced from the soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. Yes, he said, I took from the things that I was not supposed to take. I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I, what? Coveted them. Is there a commandment that says thou shalt not covet? There's a commandment that says that. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And the next passage is one of those hard passages to read. Achan, together with his children, together with his oxen, and all that he had, were destroyed. The ultimate consequence of sin. The ultimate consequence of sin for those who do not confess them. Amen? But for those who confess, God is faithful and true to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from what? From all unrighteousness. What was the difference between Joshua and Achan? They were both men. They were both sinners. One confessed, acknowledged, said, God, we have sinned. Another one decided, I think nobody's going to find out. I'll keep it to myself. But the moment of judgment came, and he was found out. I want to finish with a text that should give us hope, brothers and sisters. Because we're all looking forward to entering the promised land. Amen? We're all looking forward. And none of us is going to get there because of their own merits. In fact, none of us should make it. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Gives us this great, great message. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye do what? That ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have who? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for what? For the sins of the whole world. Amen? Is there a solution to the sin problem? There is a solution. Now I want to finish with this text from the same chapter, The Privilege of Prayer. Our God is a tender, merciful Father. Should we be afraid of going to Him? Does it matter what we've done? Should we be afraid of going up to Him? We shouldn't. His service should not be looked upon as a heart saddening, distressing exercise. It should be a pleasure to do what, brothers and sisters? To worship the Lord and to take part in His work. God would not have His children, for whom so great salvation has been provided, act as if He were a hard, exacting taskmaster. He is what? Their best friend. And when they worship Him, He expects to be with them, to bless and comfort them, filling their hearts with joy and love. The Lord desires His children to take comfort in His service and to find more pleasure than hardship in His work. He desires that those who come to worship Him shall carry away with them precious thoughts of what? Of His care and love, that they may be cheered in all the employments of daily life, that they may have grace to deal how? Honestly and faithfully in all things. Is that available to us today, brothers and sisters? That's available. God wants us to have success in all that He asks us to do. He wants us to prosper. He wants His people to be a blessed people. But if we do sin, what do we need to do? What is our task? What is our responsibility? To confess. Just say so. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I've done this week. I'm sorry. That's all He wants us to do. To open up sincerely. Talk to Him like to a friend. We don't hide things from our friends, do we? We share with them. Openly. The good and the not so good. And we can do the same with our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares about us. He knows we're hurting. And He doesn't mind hearing it. Amen? He doesn't mind taking the time to listen. In fact, when we're praying, it's like if nothing else existed in the entire universe. That's how He listens to us. Amen. We have His undivided attention. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.